Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
I wonder if anybody's ever had to come to me and ask me, like, Olin, tell us what you think. You know, don't sugarcoat it.
Olin Krutz.
If the guy didn't want to fight me at some point during the game, I am not playing hard enough.
14-year NFL veteran.
The leader of the whole deal, Olin Krutz. He's the heartbeat, he's the soul, and he's the guy that's going to lead the way for the Bears offensive line.
6-time Pro Bowler and 4-time NFL All-Pro.
I know if Olin's speaking, it's going to be the truth. It's going to be what he sees, and it's probably going to be right.
Football analyst for 670 The Score.
Olin, I caught wind of the score of Purdue and Illinois. They almost blew it. I mean, they basically did blow it.
Well, I do know this. I do analyst work for the Bears. No one pays me to analyze Illinois. So let's move on to the Bears.
All right.
Speaks, I'll tell you something that Brian Urlacher told me once. Win by one, win by 100. I still kick your ass.
Fair enough.
Fair enough.
It was an entertaining football game, that's for
it was.
Sure.
It was. The speech said blow it like 9 times.
Yeah, sorry about that.
They blow it.
Yeah.
They blow it.
I'm happy. I'm happy to be that guy for you.
Listen to me, you. I offered you a chance when we could have done something. I offered you a chance to be a cop, and you blew it. You blew it.
Olin Krutz with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Great to have Olin on. As per usual, our segment with O is brought to you by your local Ford dealers. Shop now at buyfordnow.com. Oh, we got a lot of little breaking news here with the Bears and wanted to get your opinion on it. Velus Jones has been waived. Kari Blasingame has been released. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, Velus Jones, you could see that coming, right? Where was he going to fit in? Where they were they going to use him? And they gave him every chance they could, you know, pretty much to get a job and kickoff returner, running back, wide receiver. You know, I know it was Ryan Poles' first offensive draft pick, so just trying to find a spot for him with that talent that he had, that breakaway speed. You kind of want to find a way to use it. Just never really worked out for him, whether it be dropping punts or, you know, you never know what's going on there at Halas Hall, but just to have a spot for him. And as far as Blasingame goes, I heard you guys talk about Doug Kramer and using him and moving around using that fullback. And I can see that, but, you know, I always argue you kind of want a fullback on your roster. They didn't see the value in having him and they weren't going to, didn't see where they would suit him up during the year and give him a jersey. So, they moved on from him and maybe gave him a chance to go play somewhere else.
Do you think Doug Kramer, you know, will get a roster spot, get an active game day roster spot when Ryan Bates is back, you know, because of the fullback utility? That'll be an interesting one to figure out.
It will. I would imagine that if Bates and Borum are back, that Doug Kramer goes back to practice squad. But we'll see. We'll see how that all goes. You know, you usually suit 5 of your linemen and then, you know, sometimes 8, but usually one guy who's a swing tackle and one guy who's interior sub there. And then your long snapper or somebody else is coming in for emergency. I remember Pat Manley was kind of an emergency guy for us for a long time. So we'll see how that goes. I would imagine, Speed, the answer is no, but we'll see.
So you've been really good at pointing out all the times through the years when Poles and Cunningham have not prioritized offensive linemen. When Velus Jones goes off the board at 71, next pick is Abraham Lucas, who is a starting tackle for Seattle, right, Olin? You've pointed that out. And there's so many times that they could have added the offensive line and they haven't. There's a lot of people around the league who still think this offensive line is currently constructed is going to come back to bite the Bears at some point later on in the year when the games get tougher, the division games especially. Do you have any of that concern for you?
Of course. I think when you watch this team play and you've watched them play on the road and you've watched them with silent count, you're concerned with their pass protection, right? And this is going to be the toughest front they face in 3 weeks, right? I mean, 3 games. So, you know, the Rams, you know, the Panthers and the Jaguars, now you'll face the Commanders on the road. I was just watching some film and one play because of the silent count, the Panthers right tackle got pretty beat pretty bad by by Luvu. I think was the guy number 4, Frankie Luvu for the Washington Commanders. So that's going to be a problem. On the road is always a problem with the crowd noise, the silent count, the tackles getting a jump on the cadence. And it's something that the Chicago Bears offensive line has struggled with. We talked about when they were in London, they went away. They started with the silent count. That was the first two drives when they gave up two sacks. And then they went away from it because they realized that the crowd was pro-Bears, so they could go with their own snap count. So we will see, as you know, Speaks, going into on the road, silent count, your pass protection is always a worry. This offensive line been playing better of late. Adjustments in the game plan, getting the ball, going downhill, running the ball a little bit more. But we will see as they face better competition this week. It starts with this week against the Washington Commanders. This will be the best defensive front that they face in a while.
Oh, I know that you guys were prepared for pretty much everything that you had to face when it came to an opponent. How difficult was it to ignore what might be on the injury report for the other team?
Yeah, we can't. You see what I mean? I heard you guys talking to Weider earlier, and then I was just kind of laughing to myself because you can say, right, like, oh, he's not going to play, and they're just playing games. Well, we can't do that. What if the guy does play? So that there is gamesmanship to that, and you do have to prepare for him. You do have to watch film if he is out there while he practiced today, and you're like, oh, man, I mean, what if he does show up? I better study this guy. They're taking my time. You see what I'm saying, Lawrence? Mm-hmm. If they tell me on Tuesday or on Wednesday, he's out. They made my job a lot easier. They just made it a lot easier. And look, I'm like you. Now I'm in the media world and you guys, and I'm like, yeah, he's out. Come on. But when you're in that building, you can't do that. You can't take that chance, right? You can't take that chance. I'm not going to study Daniels. And next thing you know, he's warming up and he's playing in the game. So you better be studying that guy in case he does play. Because we've all seen it where everyone says the guy's not playing. All of a sudden, he is playing. So there is gamesmanship to it. They are taking hours in my day. I do assume he's not going to play, but I don't have that advantage to just say, if you don't tell me 100%, Olin, 100% Darren Payne is out. If you tell me there's a sliver that Darren Payne, the all-pro D-tackle, is going to play, my butt better be studying that guy for hours.
I like this image of you listening to the radio and just shaking your head and laughing, you know? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. It seems like a waste of time. I'm like, guys, come on.
Yeah, I like that image of you laughing at us and Weiderer or just us or just me. And I want you to know, bring it. Like, if you got a list of stuff that we have said that you think is just absolutely freaking idiotic, we want to know. We got to get smarter, man.
No. Listen, I do a ton of radio now, so I say a lot of idiotic stuff myself. So we're all in the same boat. When you got a few hours of a radio show, well, you never know what you're going to say.
Well, we'll bring you a list. Bring Olin a list.
I covered a game that Olin played in where the guy was 100% out and he started. That was the Brett Favre game. He was out. He was not doubtful. He was not questionable. He was out. It got me on Roger Goodell's list because I kept asking him. Well, Goodell was there, and he did a press conference before you guys' game. And I was on the treadmill before the game with a member of the front office, and we both kind of got the news at the same time. And that person jumped off the treadmill and was like, can you believe this BS? So I brought it to Goodell. Like, you can't have a guy on the injury report that's out and then he starts the game. And I got brought to the principal's office after the press conference. Oh,
well, hey, listen, you asked that question and you're right. But like we're saying, you never know, man. And Daniels, I don't know if you guys saw when he went out last week on the sideline, he flung his helmet, he slammed it. This kid wants to play football now, no matter what anybody is saying, what's best for you, what's not best for you. He wants to be on the field because, as you guys know, the biggest way to earn respect in the NFL is to play a little banged up, right? He wants to be the leader of this football team. This offense is rolling right now. They have a lot of weapons. It looks like a fun offense to play in. I'm sure he does not like being out.
What does it do to an offensive line? Like, if you're the Washington offensive line and you know you've got Jaden, or to a lesser extent, Mariota, who can run too, when you know you've got a quarterback who can run, does it change anything for you, for better or for worse? What is the mindset shift, if any?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota, St. Louis High School, Honolulu, Hawaii, right? Just wanted to mention that. But as far as there is quarterbacks, the quarterbacks who run, Speaks, you're plus one. right? You're plus one on the defense now. Now they have to account for your quarterback, and it gives you a lot of advantages in the run game, in your angles. We talk a lot on this show about how the run game is math, right? It's just math. Do you have more guys to block? Do you have the number of guys that can block the defenders who are playing the run? When the people tell you, well, they run a college scheme, that's all they're saying. The quarterback is part of the run game. That's all they're saying to you. The quarterback is a threat in the run game. He is part of the run design. So we send a running back one way, and the quarterback can go the other way, and now the defense on the the running back's going right, the defense on the left, they have to play the quarterback. Hmm. They can't just crash down on the running back, which helps the offensive line tremendously, right? I line up, and they tell me, Olin, don't worry about the end. Don't worry about the linebacker on the left side of the field. Just block the right side of the field. The quarterback will take care of that. So it really, really helps you out. Now, the risk in the NFL, like you guys know, is can the quarterback last the whole year playing that kind of style of offense? And it's been proven time and time again that there's maybe one guy who makes it all the way, and it's Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, he's amazing. He makes sure he doesn't get hit. And Jaden has seemed really good at that as well. All right, so if that's the advantage for the offensive line, what does the defense have to do? And like, what does the Bears defense need to be thinking about to deal with a quarterback that can run like that?
I think you guys remember Lovey talking a lot about when the quarterback started to run the ball, that their defense was built for that because they played a zone defense. And what is a zone defense? So it puts all eyes on the quarterback, right? All eyes are looking in the backfield. Their eyes are back there anyway. You've got to be really, really disciplined in your responsibilities. If you have the quarterback, you can't go for what they call the cheese, right? Where the running back's running inside and not a tight end. It looks like he's coming at you to block. He slips outside. They call it a bluff block. He slips outside of you. Now he's blocking the cornerback. First play of the game last week against the Panthers, Jaden Daniels went for like 40 yards on a play just like that, right? The Panthers DN took the cheese. He went inside. And now the guy like Jaden Daniels, who, man, on that run, I don't know what his 40 was at the combine, but that guy is fast, man. So that is what it does to you. You have to be really disciplined. Your eyes are in the backfield. You got to play the quarterback. That's the biggest thing about these college offense, these college concepts, is now the defense has to play the quarterback as a run threat. And you can imagine what kind of play action passes come off of that, what kind of quick RPOs, run pass option come off of that. It's like a spread out triple option. And that's what they're running against you, and it's tough to play against. But, you know, and the thing that you worry about is, you know, obviously two very good defenders being out. Kyler Gordon on the edge there, good tackler, good blitzer. Mm-hmm. Brisker would be a guy you would want in a game where the running quarterback is running the ball, right? He's a safety. He's your extra guy. He matches up against the quarterback. Now the guys who are coming in to replace him really have to step up, because this kind of defense, they spread you out. They leave you one-on-one. And if you miss that tackle, guys, it's a big play.
What kind of coach is Dan Quinn?
Yeah, you know, on when I'm just watching his team play, it looks like they're playing hard for him. He's got guys like Bobby Wagner, right? That name, I couldn't believe that I saw him back there. I don't know what he's in, like his 55th year or something like that. But he's got guys like that installing his scheme, teaching him what his culture wants to be. But I honestly, Lawrence, I would only know from the outside looking in. It looks like his teams do buy into him. It looks like his defenses buy into him. Now, they have a lot of holes in that defense. I'm sure they're going to build it up as these years go on, but I couldn't really answer that question for you. I know they do have a former Chicago Bear, Bobby Engram, on their staff coaching wide receivers there, but I don't really know what kind of coach he is. I know he's a good football coach. He's good with the defenses. But if I told you I knew what kind of culture and what he was trying to build his football team, I'd be lying to you.
I talked to somebody who knows him real well this week, Olin, who says that he's like a great communicator, a heart-to-heart communicator, and that he's especially good at getting guys to check their ego, like connects to them and like really gets them to not be selfish and kind of lets the coordinators do the coaching. So that, I mean, that all sounded good to me. It sounded really, really juicy to me. Did you, I mean, does a head coach need to be that guy who gets people to check their egos, or can that be a coordinator or even a position coach?
Yeah, the hardest thing to do in the NFL is to get everybody to believe that the team is the star, right? That we're all moving in the same direction. We talk about this a lot with the Chicago Bears, with the wide receivers, that we talk about, okay, is Moore going to get the ball? When's Allen going to get the ball? Odunze is going to get the ball. Can we convince them that all their time is going to come? Check your ego at the door. We're just going to do what it takes to win this football game. So, yeah, It's the most important quality to have as a leader in an NFL building. And you have to have more than one leader, more than one guy teaching that concept in your building, making everybody move in the right direction. But it sounds to me like you talk to a guy who Dan Quinn gives a job to.
What things about the Bears offense do you think can carry over from the last 3 weeks, and what things are you concerned about going into the game?
I think, you know, I mentioned what my concern is, right, is the pass protection against this front. Who, you know, they have Johnny Newton from University of Illinois, who's playing Oregon this week, big game. They have Payne. They just have a better front, Lawrence, and the Bears have seen in a while, and the Bears are on the road again, so of course I'm worried about that. Now, what can carry over is, you know, their three wide receiver set, Cole Kmet, Swift, and getting those guys the ball in space, spreading the defense out, and getting the ball out quickly. And that's what Caleb's been doing, right? I think we talked about how Sanchez went over that. He's getting the ball out in under 3 seconds. So those are the kind of things that can carry over.
I know that you hate talking about yourself. You're Mr. Team Guy. Like, your whole career, that's been you. But there's a couple of cool things have happened for you. And before you globalize it, before you start talking about everyone else, I want you to spend a couple minutes talking about yourself here. What did it feel like to be inducted into the Chicago Sports Hall of Fame? And what does it mean to you to be on the list of finalists for Canton?
Well, it's incredibly humbling, obviously. You know how I feel about football. You know how I feel about sports in general, right? I feel, and in Chicagoland and just being a kid from Hawaii, I've been here a long time now, since 1998. You guys know the story of my kids. They're all playing sports in Chicago. My wife just ran a marathon. We're really big into the sports scene here. So to go into something like that, have Mike Singletary speaking, have B. Estrada, Christian Okoye was in the room. You guys remember Christian Okoye.
Of course.
Right? Tony Kukoc was in the room. There was just a lot of people in that room. Duncan Keith was in there. Just guys that you've heard about. And then, you know, I can't remember his name right now, and excuse me, but Blackhawks old trainer. And he started at St. Rita, and then he went to the Blackhawks, and he just kind of, his whole life was in Chicago. Just really a great event that they run there, the Chicagoland Sports Hall of Fame. A lot of good things going on in the Chicago sports scene, obviously. And you know how much everyone here loves their sport. So really a fun night, really honored to be there and receive that honor. So you're just humbled to be there. I'll tell you what the big thing, guys, about events like that is, I'm sure in your guys' life, you have a lot of people to thank that you'd like to thank, right? And you thank them when you see them. Whenever I get a chance like that, and I've been lucky enough, blessed enough, to be in a few Hall of Fames. So whenever I get a chance to stand on stage, I get to thank everybody who got me there. So that is really what those nights are about. And a lot of people don't get to do that. And I always say how lucky I am when I get to stand on stage and put the spotlight on people who helps you get to where you are.
That's awesome. Yeah, Mike Gapsky is the Blackhawks trainer that you're talking about.
Yeah, he was awesome. Yes.
Mike Vec, the son of Bill Vec, and the guy
he was crazy.
I bet he was crazy, right?
He was awesome, man. He was awesome.
He's funny as hell. He should be the next White Sox owner. Somehow, some way, they got to get Mike Vec to own that team. And Singletary, well, you deserve it in full, Olin. That's really awesome. You mentioned the Illini at Oregon. They had, what a great day against Michigan, man. I mean, what was that like, by the way? I mean, first of all, and do they have a shot to hang with Oregon tomorrow?
They do. I you know, it's funny you ask that, because at first, as the week started, I was like, man, at number one, Oregon, right? And Oregon is, they have a running back, and Dylan Gabriel, another Hawaii kid, another Hawaii product, is their quarterback. He gets the ball out incredibly fast. Oregon is what you think they are, guys. They get the ball in people's hands, and they score touchdowns, man. Their receivers and running backs are fun to watch. But I think Illinois, you know, on the offensive and defensive lines, if they can find advantages and start to slowly take over the game, you never know what could happen out there. Now, obviously, they'll need a few takeaways. They'll need a few bounces to go their way. And Oregon is what everyone says they are. They're a very, very good football team. Dylan Gabriel, I think I told my sons to call him uncle when they get there, since he's about 35 years old playing quarterback for Oregon. But they are a good football team, man, and it's going to be a fun game to watch. And look, the Fighting Illini are now 6-1, and they're headed to play the number one team in the nation. So they get to find out what they are, right? They get the final, and they've been now. They played Nebraska. They played at Penn State. They have a game plan for going on the road in tough environments and trying to win football games. So excited for them to get to that game and see what they're all about. And that's what you want to do when you play sports. You want to play against the best teams in the world.
I was saying to Speaks earlier this week, like how great it is that you look up and you're paying attention to what's going on in the Big Ten. And there's Illinois and there's Indiana. You know, two teams that people might not have thought going into the season. They both have their playoff opportunity right in front of them. And to be this deep into a season, it's so great to have that and know you control your destiny, that you have the opportunity to make those dreams come true.
I tell you what, Lawrence, man, I sit in the horseshoe, right? I sit in the end zone. I love sitting in the end zone. I get to see. For me, I'm an end zone camera guy. I'm an offensive lineman. I got to see the game from that seat. But I see in the end zone, it's all Bears fans. obviously, University of Illinois is all Bears fans. So it's a fun event. And this team, like you're talking about, their fans have been waiting a long time. As you guys know, they haven't done a lot of winning. Coach Bielema doing a great job turning that program around, find a way to win in this new atmosphere of portal, NIL, and things that Coach, Josh Whitman, their AD, doing a nice job out there trying to get that program moving in the right direction. Like Chicago Bears fans, they've been waiting a long time to get some wins, to enjoy a season like they're doing, to beat Michigan. Now Michigan, they got quarterback problems, and they may have coaching problems. So we'll see what happens with that program there. But to beat a team like Michigan, to beat a team like Nebraska at Nebraska, to go to Penn State and feel like you hung with Penn State, who is a really, really good football team this year. And now you get a chance to go to Oregon and play the number one team in the nation. This is going to be a fun season. It's a fun game for Illinois fans to be a part of. And it's a fun game for me and my family to watch. You know, obviously my son will be a center. One of my other sons is playing linebacker special teams. So really, really excited about this football game.
So cool, Olin. I would have been in awe of Christian Okoye too, by the way. And I just called up.
Huge, man.
Oh, dude.
He said he was 270 when he played. He played 3 years of football before he got to the NFL. This guy's a monster.
I just watched him against Steve Atwater in that Monday night game. Oh. You remember that hit?
Yes, I do remember that hit. Steve Atwater was an absolute monster that era of football is obviously where we grew up. We grew up watching it. Christian Okoye and Mike Singletary are standing there. Like my night was made, right? I'm standing up on the stage speaking to the crowd. I look down, it's Christian Okoye and Mike Singletary. And I'm like, I'll keep my voice down, guys. Sorry.
And they're like, hey, my God, that's Olin Krutz.
That's Olin Krutz over there. Right. One of the toughest SOBs that's ever played the game and a Hall of Fame finalist. Oh, man, I'm so happy for you. Congratulations on all of it. I'm looking forward to you breaking down all of the Bears stuff this weekend and with Mully and Haw as well. Thank you for joining us as always, and we'll talk to you next week.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good day.
All right, man. See you later. I survived an Illinois question. That's nice. Bank that, you know?
If you stop bringing it up, though, like, you could just ask him the question, and right, it'd be fine.
Instead of trying to summarize the struggles?
Yeah.
And make him think that, you know, that I'm taunting him, which yeah, I would never do.
I'm going to pretend you did not ask that.
Oh, that's good.
I got better.
Yeah, well.
Tanny's is still much better. He won't do it.
Tanny won't
and
do his
he's
Olin
right
Krutz?
To not do it. Because, like, I'll face the repercussions from Olin. But
in the missing.
Speaks, you are right to not ask that question.
In the missing Danny formation, so far it's me who gets the wrath of Olin Krutz. And I understand. But it's not going to be Lawrence. Lawrence and Olin, they're tight. They're good. You know?
I've faced Olin's wrath before. That's why, honestly, I think that's why me and him are cool.
Same dude, twice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You got to face it and get through it.
Yeah.
I think that Olin's a good man, and he respects people that...
But, yeah, he needs to know. He needs to know that you're going to step
up. He's a good man, and I've enjoyed becoming a friend. I think it's fair to say that I've become a friend of Olin Krutz, and why don't you stop bothering him? How about that?
It's me?
Yeah.
I like bothering him.
All right.
Stop saying dumb stuff, dude. And then he'll stop.
Shane, that's my brand. Dumb stuff is a big part of my brand.
Don't question his high school play calling.
Yeah, how about that? This guy.
I didn't. I would never.
You did.
Oh, yeah, I did. That's right.
We need to take a break. We need to do a little bit of baseball because this is a fun World Series that's getting ready to get started tonight. And we started talking about comps. Let's go deeper with that.
Yeah, because it'll cross sports as well.
That's next here on the
Amazon Fall Favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.
Gore.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Bob Costas.
Matt, thank you very much. And Lawrence, stop dominating the conversation the way you have over the last several minutes, really.
Afternoons on the Score.
And the 1-2. Swung on and drilled to right field. That ball is going to be gone. It was a line drive, and it went over the right field fence. It's a Judgian blast. The Yankee dugout goes nuts. They're all on the field.
Ohtani swings, and it's a missile to right field. Marte will turn, and watch this one fly. Shohei Ohtani, a leadoff home run, a laser beam to right field, and it's 1-0 Dodgers right off the hop in game four.
So Lawrence Holmes, 9 times in baseball history has a World Series game featured 4 former MVPs. Tonight, we'll probably see 5. Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, Freddie Freeman, Shohei Ohtani. That has never happened before in a World Series game.
That's wild.
Isn't that crazy? 9 different times. The last time that happened was 1971. This from Elias Sports. That note just crossed. So you've got 5 former MVPs, and it's like the assemblage of superstars on these 2 gigantic teams. It should make for pretty excellent television.
I'm hoping so. And I, you know, like we were talking about with Bob, like, I think baseball fans are like, no, it's okay. It's okay for you to come back. Like, if you were someone that kind of abandoned baseball, hey, guess what? It's the Dodgers and the Yankees. Come on back.
Yeah.
We're all going to have fun again. We're going to enjoy baseball a little bit.
So Paul Sullivan, lovely guy. I love Sully. He wrote a World
Home
Series.
Home with Lossmore's Finest.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. Kindred spirits, you and he. So he wrote a great piece in the Trib about the World Series and touched on a few different angles in it. But this caught my eye. He said that this matchup of Ohtani and Judge will be the best superstar matchup in the finals of any of the big 4 sports since Magic Johnson and Michael Jordan in 1991 with the Lakers and the Bulls. Now, it stopped me cold because I thought it was cool, a cool association, a fun thought. And Magic and Michael, for those that were alive to feel it and see it and think about it, was really awesome. You knew you were seeing something special. But is he right that Ohtani and Judge, you have to go all the way back to Magic and Michael in 91? Is that correct?
I think he went too far back. I don't think you have to go that far back for this. And I know it might be a little bit of recency bias. And I don't want to go all the way back to Bird and Magic. You can go back a couple of years. Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes.
That's pretty good.
Right?
That's pretty good.
And Mahomes played like an incredible game that he lost.
Yeah.
I still think about the 30-yard dart that he threw on the run,
while falling down,
that hit a guy in the face mask.
Yeah, for sure.
That the guy didn't catch.
And the build-up to that was so damn fun. I remember me and Danny did a segment where like it was just one Mahomes fact and one Brady fact, just going back and forth. You could go like 10 deep on both of them. I think you're right. I mean, that's superstar and superstar. That's future GOAT and or former GOAT and future GOAT or whatever.
Let me add another one.
GOAT versus GOAT.
LeBron versus
Steph. GOAT on GOAT action. LeBron versus Steph. Yeah, I love Steph. And it's just that whole team.
What's with your face, Shane? Why not?
Because Steph can't D up LeBron. LeBron will overpower Steph in any situation. LeBron can score over Steph. LeBron can get past Steph. LeBron can D up Steph. Steph cannot do anything but shoot over LeBron. That's one aspect of the game.
But Mahomes didn't D up Brady.
I didn't have to. I got a defense for that. I got a defense for that. I don't need that.
That's true.
They play the same position. LeBron and Steph don't play the same position. I can't compare them.
Right, but in terms of like the magnitude,
Magic and Bird don't play the same position either.
They didn't beat each other up either. You know,
Magic transcended that position.
Agreed. Yeah. And Bird transcended his.
But Scottie, they could have played each other's position.
Scottie covered Magic.
Steph couldn't D up who LeBron does. Steph can't guard five.
I agree. You know? But we are still talking about, and Steph, I think, over what's happened over the last 4 or 5 years, has now put himself in that argument. When you start talking the barbershop argument of the greatest of all time, I think Steph's got some claims.
Oh, yeah. Steph
to being acknowledged, not to being the guy, but no. Now you can't just jump over him.
Steph is the greatest shooter of all time. He's the greatest shooter in the history of the NBA and a guy who completely changed the game. And I adore Steph. Love how he has, you know, bulked up and found a way to physically compete at his diminutive size. And really, this is the question is more about the buildup and the idea, the abstract, because it's not like Ohtani and Judge are going to face each other. Ohtani not going to pitch in this series. That was thought to be a possibility.
Well,
by the way.
He had started throwing again, and I wonder if you end up in a jam.
Roberts today said absolutely not, but I still hear you.
I don't believe him.
Yeah, right? I don't believe you. Like, if game 6 or game 7, they're all out of people.
You're out of guys. Hey, Shohei, how's your arm?
You know that guy.
20. I can give you 20 pitches if
you
want.
Oh, my God.
Sure. Go get ready.
Dodgers just lost a relief pitcher, Evan Phillips, who they couldn't put on the roster because he hasn't been recovering well. And so he's not going to be there on the roster.
A texter offers Messi versus Mbappe. That's not bad.
That is such a good call. And that World Cup final completely lived up. That was an epic World Cup final. That was super fun to watch. Yeah, that's pretty fun. And the idea is like, I think Brady and Mahomes is the answer.
That's the answer.
And that's pretty damn recent. But I like where Sully's going in a team sport thought process.
Who doesn't like where Sully's going?
Yeah. Is the ex-Cubs factor still a thing? That any team with 3 ex-Cubs is doomed to be eliminated in the postseason? Sully wrote about that, too. It's actually happened twice since 2016 that it was correct.
No, it's not a thing anymore.
I didn't think so. But the Yankees do have 4. We'll see who's
all right,
who's
go Dodgers then, I guess, right? When we come back.
Go Dodgers for sure.
Why don't we talk a little bit about what one of the greatest coaches ever had to say about whether or not the Bears' offense was improving. You'll want to hear this. Stick around. Spiegel and Holmes here with you until 6 on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to.
Afternoons on The Score.
If that's not a promo, I don't know what is.
Raekwon Smith.
Wu-Tang! It is the Spiegel and Holmes show. We are here with you until 6 o'clock. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Mark Grody is going to have a Bears hit, 2 words. And considering there's all sorts of roster activity today, if you're just jumping in your car, you're ready to start your weekend, like, wait, boys, what are you guys talking about? Yeah, Velus Jones has been waived. Kari Blasingame has had his contract terminated. They are moving on from those two players.
Yeah, one released, one waived. And the only difference in that is service time. It's just the terminology. Because Velus is 4 years or less, he gets waived and other teams have the right to pick him up and pay that rookie deal. I wonder if someone might.
I think there will be people who are at least interested because there's so many wide receiver injuries going on around the league.
And because he's like crazy fast and large, somebody's going to look at him and say,
we can fix him.
We can make him our Cordarrelle Patterson. He bounced around before Belichick found utility for Cordarrelle Patterson. So somebody's going to think that about Velus.
And I think
bet.
Someone will bring in Blasingame too, whether it's to play straight fullback or to be a core member of your special teams.
How many teams roster a fullback these days?
It's a good question.
I'll find out while you set up this Bill Belichick sound.
I will. Inside the NFL, Bill Belichick has been great as he replaced Jay Cutler on that show. He had some thoughts. He did, though, right? Like, theoretically, he did.
It's just a wild sentence. It's true, but yeah, it's just so funny to hear.
I can hear Belichick going, Kay Cutler, you're out.
I'm going to step in here and draw up plays and whatnot.
Real quick, just to finish that last thought. In 2023, 12 NFL teams used a fullback for offensive snaps.
Oh, thank you very much, Shane Reardon. That's
12
fine,
teams.
Fine work.
That's very, very good.
Don't need one when you got Doug Kramer, baby. Mm-hmm.
Belichick should have bumped Cutler from behind the wheel. Am I right? Huh?
I just imagine that production meeting. Like, all right, we have Jay Cutler here.
Come on, I nailed that one. What are you talking about?
Everyone loves Jay Cutler around here, right? We all love him, but we have an opportunity here. We have Bill Belichick who's looking for work. So and what do we do here?
And Cutler's like, all right, fine. He hands him the half cigarette that has been. Here you go. All right. And Bill just takes the cigarette from him, picks up the mantle that way.
Yeah, Jay, I don't want this.
See, very good Belichick.
I don't want this.
It's pretty good.
Oh,
you're getting better on all of this stuff that you're doing.
It's always good the first time.
We got a lot of fullbacks.
No, we don't.
Kenny, don't ask me to do that, Trump.
Only 12. Just 12 of them.
So anyway, Jay Cutler's replacement on Inside the NFL, Bill Belichick, had this to say about the Bears' offensive growth and what they do on third down.
I think this passing chart on Caleb Williams really says it all. The green dots are the completions. And so generally they're coming in this area here, inside the numbers, in the middle of the field. A lot of throws around the line of scrimmage, catch and run plays. A lot of incompletions outside the numbers, very few deep balls, and the interceptions have come on the deep balls too. So I think we know what we need to defend with Caleb Williams.
And also, Coach, if you're a safety of either one of these teams, you play these games differently. If you're the Chicago Bears, you have to keep your depth. But if you're the Washington Commanders and I'm playing safety, I know I'm going to be inside those numbers and thinking of playing downhill with the way that Caleb Williams operates.
Yeah, I think you can get some of those in-cuts and seams that he will throw.
Yes, sir.
This is a good example right here of Caleb's ability to throw on the run. Gets out of the pocket. It's got a live arm and really rifles it in here on the money. Good throw on the run. Chris, we've got to do a good job containing this guy. He can get out of the pocket.
And because of his size, Coach, we got to rush like cage rush this guy.
Yes.
The pocket.
This is one of his better plays here. Bears line up in a 3-by-1 formation here on a 30-yard line. And Caleb sees the overloaded coverage. So we're singled back here, free safety. Linebackers are playing a short inside area right here. He does a nice job of looking off the free safety. Ryan, this is not good by the free safety here. We've got to stay between the hash marks, right?
Absolutely, Coach. And he can't close his numbers to the backside, especially if you know DJ Moore is locked up man-to-man.
Right. And so Caleb sees the numbers on the backside. Makes a good throw here to Moore. Look, this is one of his few downfield throws, and he makes a good one. We got to respect it. He just doesn't do it very much.
Wow. So he says Caleb doesn't throw it down the field very much, and he doesn't seem to be a big fan of his ability to do it. Now, the down-the-field numbers were not good the first few weeks. I remember Matt Bowen on this show pointing them out in terms of the throws with the air yards. And Caleb whiffed on the deep ball through the interception against Jacksonville. Is that fair from Belichick in your mind?
It far be it from me to argue or quibble with Bill Belichick breaking down actual tape.
But.
Nope.
Oh, damn it.
No.
Yeah.
He's looking at the actual tape. Like, so I'm good with his assessment, Ryan Clark's assessment on it too. I would offer back in a conversation with both of those guys, and I would ask them if they've seen progress over the last 3 weeks, and it seemed like inside of that bite, Bill Belichick has seen improvement. I don't think that, as far as the national people, Belichick has been one of the harder ones for Caleb Williams to impress. We heard it early on before the season started.
Yeah.
He wasn't really his biggest fan.
No, I know.
And so I think he might have to work a little harder to not that Caleb is playing to impress Bill Belichick, but
yeah.
I think it might be harder to get that praise from him than maybe other quarterbacks.
Did you hear that Caleb impressed a breakfast ball guy on FS1?
What is this breakfast ball that you speak of?
It's not Danny. Danny was bought in like 3.5 years ago on Caleb, you know?
So wait, that gives me two choices. Was this the football player?
Well, I certainly don't care what Craig Carton has to say. So, yeah, it was the football player. Here's Mark Schlereth.
Wow.
I would take Caleb Williams. And I have this belief, this overall belief, that in the league, in this league, you win from the pocket on a consistent basis. And both of these guys have been exceptional in the pocket. I'm not saying Jane Daniels can't be great in the pocket. But I think overall, from just a pocket presence standpoint, I would take Caleb because I think he's better in the pocket. I think he's more stout. He's bigger. And that's the direction I would go. So if I was pressed, I think they're both great and they're both going to have unbelievable careers. But I'm just going to make you happy right now, Danny Parkins. I'm going to take Caleb Williams is the guy that I would probably take overall because I think he's got more staying power from the pocket than does Jaden Daniels.
That does make me happy, and I'm happy for you for being correct.
That is, oh, that is that guy, exquisite. Man. That is exquisite. That is so Parkinsian.
That's the essence, as Terry used to say.
Yeah, I mean, finally, you have the right opinion about Caleb. I've been trying to tell you.
That does make me happy, and I'm happy for you for being correct.
That's objectively funny. Like, that's Danny being funny.
Oh,
God help us all if Caleb's bad on Sunday.
Well, just don't be a breakfast baller on Monday.
What's wrong with you? Just because you're the mayor of Worrytown, you don't have to run for re-election every week. What the hell, man? Lawrence.
It's a 4-year cycle, Lawrence. It's a cycle based on the rookie contract.
I'm just saying.
What?
Lawrence, can I ask something from you in the 5 o'clock hour?
Sure.
I want a Bears meatball take from you where you say exactly why you think they're going to win big. On Sunday.
You don't believe it.
I need some reason that you can think about
that's not,
for the Bears to win big on Sunday.
That's not how he rolls. You can't just put a quarter in him like he's a jukebox and get a tank.
I'm not doing that.
That guy's on TV now.
Not anymore.
Mr. Mayor of Worrytown, are you going to travel to see the Bears this weekend?
Yeah, and are you doing business?
I would like to get some more business from Washington, D.C.
Oh, it's a good place to get business.
I'm thinking maybe I should just go and do that.
Fair.
Uh-huh. Instead of handling all of the myriad problems here in the city.
You know the answer to that question already. That's why you're asking. I am going to support the Chicago Bears.
I've been mayor here at Worrytown for 17 months. I've never been about optics. Never once been about optics.
Gator ain't never been about that. Ain't never been about no optics.
You don't have to do a meatball take just because Shane wants one.
No. It's not that I want one, but I've listened to you be an incredibly strong Bears fan for so long. I want that, Lawrence.
I don't think that's an accurate portrayal of my time here on the score.
I think it is.
It's really not.
It's.
So why do I have that memory then? Like why do I associate you with the Bears more than any other host on this station?
Because you're projecting your own fandom of my Bears coverage.
Fair.
That's why.
Fair.
And that's good.
That
makes me feel great.
Okay.
That you felt represented with my Bears coverage.
Okay.
You're finally right, and Lawrence is happy for you that you're finally right.
Good.
I'm happy for Shane a lot. I like Shane quite a bit. I know I'm the only one.
But somebody's got to.
It's Damn. True.
Whew. Quiet part out loud.
That does make me happy, and I'm happy for you for being correct.
Oh, that's right. Mark Grody will be correct on all things Bears next on the score.
Everything.
Amazon fall favorites are here to make you say, woo! With low prices on home, woo! Beauty, woo! And fashion brands like Amazon Essentials. Woo! So hold on to your pumpkin spice whatevers and save on fall favorites at Amazon.